Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back to Circles of Change and our special 301st show, by the way. It's always a pleasure to include an individual from the medical community, as well as an author to boot. So, Jeff Brown from Harvard Medical School, welcome here to the show.
Thanks so much. I've been looking forward to our visit.
You bet. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Dr. Jeff Brown, he's a champion of cognitive behavioral psychology and is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. He not only walks alongside clients who want to manage inconvenient psychological symptoms, but he also teaches individuals how to apply research-based strategies to fine-tune their brains and optimize their life. Outside of his private practice, Jeff is the psychologist for the Boston Marathon medical team. He's also on Runner's World magazine's scientific advisory board. So his witty and meaningful messages are frequently heard by audiences at very conferences and events across the country. Plus, psychology expertise has been cited in countless national media outlets such as the New York Times, ESPN, Fox News, Boston Magazine, of course, here today on Circles of Change. Well, in addition to his first book, The Competitive Edge, How to Win Every Time You Compete, and as well a book he co-authored, The Winner's Brain, 8 Strategies Great Minds Use to Achieve Success, which, by the way, is available in multiple languages, Jeff takes on the topic of stress now. Something that we all could benefit changing our levels of, I'd say. And it's indeed part of the new Chicken Soup for the Soul series. It's called Say Goodbye to Stress, Manage Your Problems, Big and Small Every Day. Well, Jeff, congratulations. You continue on an author role, don't you?
Well, thank you. I guess I do. And congratulations to you on the 301st show. I mean, that's how you learn to manage stress. You do that many shows. eventually, you learn how to deal with that.
I think you're right. But you also kind of go into some things blindly, so you never quite know what they're going to become, do you?
That is so true. Around Boston, 301, that's a good batting average. So we all like that.
You know, thank you very much. You're right. Well, I was wanted to comment, too, of course, here in Tucson with our 365 days of sunshine, that you have quite a following out here who, I'm not surprised, probably have picked up your other books being runners, because this is such an epicenter for outdoor sports, of course.
Boy, it is, isn't it? That's a great place to be training and a great place to just enjoy sunshine that we miss so much here in New England.
It does. Well, Jeff, you've taken a very interesting approach to your book, Say Goodbye to Stress, by tapping into stories from other people. How'd you come on that approach?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because with Chicken Soup for the Soul and Harvard Medical School teaming up for this, we just know the power of storytelling is important. As a psychologist, I get to teach a lot of people things through stories and examples. I know I learned that way myself. So it's a good way of seeing that there's hope and there's also solution to a lot of problems. And certainly with Say Goodbye to Stress, we get to read a lot from authors who have submitted stories that were included. And they have, you know, pretty significant dilemmas, and they all have really good outcomes. And hopefully those are things that readers can be learning from as well.
So tell me, the whole process then of collecting these stories, were you deluged with opportunities to include in your book?
There were lots of submissions. Chicken Soup editors go through the hundreds of submissions, and it boils down to a select group of really terrific writers. And I can't say enough about them because they really bring a lot of life and a lot of hope to the whole book. And it's just a fun connection to have with these writers. And it's a real a privilege to be able to have Chicken Soup and Harvard Medical School come together, kind of an unlikely pair. But then if you start thinking about it, it really makes sense because research says we learn a lot from stories and Harvard Medical School is about teaching. So it's a good combination.
Well, let's step back. Just this whole subject of stress that you've become an expert in, you know, the fact that opening salvo is that it causes, what, 60% of all diseases out there? That's a wake-up call to me.
It really is a wake-up call for all of us. The research is reflecting that 50 to 60% of all of our health-related issues can be traced back to stress. And that's scary. You know, the stress that we're dealing with today, I think, is very very much different and uniquely different. It's modern day stress, not survival stress that we had in the past. Certainly, we feel like we have to survive from time to time, whether that's at work or dealing with family or dealing with finances. But the idea here is that stress in what I've been calling modern stress comes with different flavors. Technology affects that. That's something that we all are having to face, whether we like that or not. And it's something that does eat up a lot of our time, affects time management. And gosh, the list can go on and on and on, can't it?
Well, it does. And in fact, you know, how do you parse out the kind of, let's take that technology subject right there, that which is really advancing us as opposed to perhaps that which is constricting us? For example, the whole question around how it's changing our relationship behavior with one another, which then, if not dealt right, adds to the stress pile.
Yeah, it's scary, very scary to think about technology helping us to substitute other things for relationships, or we're substituting technology for real meaningful face-to-face relationships. And I don't think that that's a wise thing at all. We are social beings. We're made, I know part of Circles of Change, you talk about faith, you talk about the fullness of life. Social pieces of life are critical to that. We need to feel loved. We need to feel that we belong. We need to be able to nurture. We need to be nurtured. All of those things are critical, and I don't find my laptop doing much of that for me. So that's something that we have to be mindful of, as you know, as parents, as people in the workplace. We have to be very aware that these relationships aren't, virtual in so many ways. I realize there are benefits for that. I Skype with clients from time to time across the globe, but we know that being face to face is, there's just something special about that, and that's still holds true for us in relationships in real life.
You bet. Well, Dr. Brown, so what's your prescription then for me to be able to say goodbye to stress?
Well, the first thing you have to do is realize that you can do something about that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that we're facing in our stressful world these days is overcommitment and the fear that we're going to miss out on a really nifty or cool opportunity, mm-hmm. and we've forgotten how to say no. I think being able to say no is very powerful when it comes to managing stress. Keep in mind, people come to us with all kinds of opportunities, and mm-hmm. usually some compliments are mixed in there to try to entice us to do for them things that need to be done. Now, certainly, it's important to head up the bake sale at school, or be the chair of some other committee, or do a variety of these things. And oftentimes, when we evaluate those things in our thinking, we think, well, gosh, that would only take probably maybe an hour a week to do that. But then what we end up doing is committing to six or seven of those things, and now we have a part-time job. And that's where we have failed as humans. We're not really good at, as I had a former professor of mine many years ago said, we are not good at binding events in time, meaning what I commit to now, I don't really do a good job of understanding how that connects to what I'm going to actually have to do in the future to make that commitment happen. Credit card, good example. About we could throw down the plastic now, but gosh, we're not feeling the pain of having to pay that right away. We don't pull those things together in time very well. But the same thing holds here with saying yes to too many things. We're not good at understanding the impact of that. So we have to learn to say no. We have to appreciate the compliments that come with those requests that we're the best at something, or there's no way that anybody could do something better than we do. And we like that, don't we? We want to hear that we're competent, but we have to graciously say no to those things and be very selective and prioritize what's so important. Sometimes we have to back off and say, gosh, I need some time to think about this, when we really know that we're just kind of giving some space here because the person is coming back with a response to our no. So writing a handwritten note, I think, is the best way to do that and help them to understand that you really can't do it, you're thankful for the opportunity, but here's another solution to the problem. That makes us feel better as the no-sayers, that oftentimes we feel guilty. But if we say, here you go, here's another alternative to me, here's another person or another solution, that can help us feel less guilty about saying no and sort of dodging that responsibility bullet.
Well, and on top of that, too, and let's take that to the work context, you could be giving a colleague then the opportunity to shine, you know, on stage. So there's that, you could be doing someone a favor by allowing them the opportunity.
Absolutely. And they're probably going to do that for you, too. Again, looking for the right opportunity is a key to success, particularly in the workplace, knowing what avenue to take. What is it that really makes sense that will lead you to the right kind of success? I see a lot of people who I think maybe I've coined this term. I don't know. Not many people know it. I think you have to have a lot of people know your term before you coin it. Isn't that right? But the illusion of missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah,
that we,
right.
that we believe that if I don't say yes to everything, something that I said no to, I'm going to regret. And I think that sort of anxiety drives a lot of people to say yes. And it's an unfortunate thing, but we see it happen a lot, and then people get stressed out because they're trying to do way too many things that they just don't have the time capacity to do.
Sure, and of course, then that ripples into some of the other big areas of stress that manifests in people's lives that drives them then to not sleep appropriately, not give time for exercise, or even, you know, what kind of diet.
Absolutely, and all of those things are fundamental to stress reduction and stress management. If people want to do something right away, they can get out and they can go for a walk. Anything that they can do for their brain is important, and exercise is the number one thing that we know that you can be doing for your brain. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can do something for your brain. I have a great aunt of mine who's in a care facility, and I just found out that she won the wheelchair race.
And is that right?
That's
great.
Terrific, you know, because she's almost 90, and she really was out there still exercising and able to do those things. So that's one good thing that we can do. Definitely eating well and eating things that have a lot of omega-3s and 6s in them. Our brains really like that. Green leafy vegetables, cold freshwater fish, some nuts, those dark berries, those are all good. Those are things that we can be doing right away. I think the other thing, though, is sleep. The sleep piece is really a complicated piece for us because yeah. that's usually what we forfeit the most of. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but if you tie that back to not being able to say no, it's because we will give up the sleep to be able to what we think is accomplish more stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where we always cut ourselves short. We get up early or we go to bed late. And our brain really does need that sleep. It needs to consolidate new information and new memories, plus just helping with focus and concentration and attention the next day. We need to be able to have that. And when we neglect sleep, it's unfortunate that we really do miss out on critical things that our brain is doing. I just had a post on my website, which is drjeffbrown.com, about the snooze button addiction that so many people can have and how to correct that. There's a video on there. There's also just a transcript of the video as well. But that idea that we interrupt sleep, even the very end of our sleep, with a snooze button, and we hit that 5 or 6 times, it's really zapping a lot of what our brain's supposed to be doing during that really rich sleep. So when we hear you snooze, you lose, it's really, really true.
Yeah, that's true, in more ways than one. You know, Jeff, I mentioned in the introduction, of course, that you have this multifaceted life yourself, that you're in private practice, you teach, you're on staff at the Harvard Medical School, plus you're involved in the whole sports world. Now, not all stress is bad, right? I mean, stress that really keeps us focused is the kind of things that you see preeminent athletes stay on point and move forward. So, but what are the triggers that you're over the wrong line?
You know, that's a really good point, that there is good stress and there is bad stress. And the good stress is associated with things like holidays and birthdays, if you still count them, and different things that are good. Our bodies really are not good at knowing the difference. But some of the things that let us know that we have stepped over that line, oftentimes fatigue, the feeling that motivation is just not there. The things that we used to enjoy just aren't that appealing to us. Now, a lot of that sounds like depression, and certainly burnout and depression look a lot alike. And burnout usually comes as a result of high levels of stress where we just don't get a break. People who work 7 days a week or work a couple of different jobs at the same time, those sorts of things really do feed that burnout. One of the best things you can do for burnout, although it's hard to accomplish once you've gotten in over your head, and that is to be able to take some time off and just let your body physically restore. Oftentimes, you are truly burned out. Physically, you're just depleted, and that affects us emotionally.
Well, and again, this goes back to this overcommitment phase, how many people perhaps think it's a badge of honor to have a schedule that's back-to-back meetings or double meetings on top of them that strokes the ego as opposed to realizing that you need some brain time down as well as a physical time.
That's exactly right, that oftentimes people need to be needed. They need to have others believe that they're needed, yeah. And that's where their value comes from, and that is a slippery slope as well.
Indeed. Jeff, in your private practice, of course, over these past 4 or 5 years with the economy being as stressed as it has been, different advice you find more compelling than others to help people during these tough times where stress is now lopped on top of other financial hardship and the like?
Yes, one thing that I've found to truly work for people, and it seems so basic, but let me tell you why it's not basic. That is to actually have a budget. Now, a lot of people, when they theoretically think about their budget, they've never actually put pen or pencil to paper and done the math. People are going back and doing that and looking at the numbers that they actually have and seeing where money actually goes. I think there are a lot of great things that we've had for advice for years, budgeting being one, that if you want to be in charge of your money, budget and understand where all of your money is going. But I find that a lot of people, a majority of people, don't do that. Mm-hmm. They don't do these practical things. So going back to the practical piece of actually knowing what your numbers are and sticking with those numbers is important. Credit card management is another big piece. People have done whatever they can to put distance between their credit cards and their spending. That means delete credit cards from accounts online where it's held, where it's easy to just go in and click here, click there, one password gets you all kinds of cash. Those sorts of things need to be changed up as well. Sometimes people will even change credit card numbers just so they don't have them committed to memory, so they're easier to spend. So a lot of that spending happens impulsively. And again, mentioning earlier that we don't bind events in time very well, we don't really remember those things that we spend, and we're kind of surprised when we see that on the credit card bill.
How about job seekers that lean upon you at tough times like these? Are you seeing people come forward with one area versus another, or more compelling ways to help people cope right now?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that people have done and have done nicely is to get creative with how they're going to reach success. You mentioned another book that I co-authored, The Winner's Brain. We talk about the opportunity radar there, that which you allows you to see a road to success that other people aren't lined up for. A lot of our culture says, well, we have to do success a certain way. We have to get this score. We have to go to this school. We have to do these things. And we're finding that successful people, and we found when writing The Winner's Brain, that successful people don't always go the traditional route. And in fact, we think that a lot of non-traditional paths really are what leads to success. You know, we just lost Phyllis Diller. She just passed away within this last week. We interviewed Phyllis for The Winner's Brain, and she's a great example of an individual who possessed winner's brain capacity. Mm-hmm. And that is that she would very willingly go and play in a different venue and a different stage for less money because she knew that that was a building block for something else, or she would meet the right person. And in fact, it's how she developed her mentorship with Bob Hope. So that's just a really good example. Another person we interviewed, Kevin Clash. If people don't recognize his name, they'll recognize his friend, and that's Elmo. Kevin Clash is the man behind Elmo, and Elmo was just a Muppet on the floor at Sesame Street until Kevin grabbed a hold of him and started making him what he is today. And he's synonymous with Sesame Street. But again, that's that opportunity. Several people had stepped over Elmo, I believe literally, because he was just a puppet that wasn't something that that people had seen as an opportunity for success. But again, Kevin Clash did that with Elmo and is a great example of that opportunity radar. So people who are struggling, they can get creative. They can start looking for different avenues for success. Don't get caught in the rut of dealing with the same thing all the time. Feel like you have to send out resumes online all the time. Mix it up. Do something different. That's kind of what revealing itself as a really good strategy.
Well, I think on top of that, too, when you say about dealing with stress, a good part of this is your ability to engage with other people. And so approaching the whole job search process, just like internal company change, if you take it back to the fundamentals of being in relationship with others, but I like your opening comment of also being able to know when to say no that's an important hallmark.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Jeff, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the show. The book's been out not too long, but tell me, what kind of reactions have you gotten now from the book, Say Goodbye to Stress, Manage Your Problems Big and Small Every Day?
Well, we're very pleased that we're hearing from readers who are telling us that they keep Say Goodbye to Stress on their nightstand, and they use it as an owner's manual for modern stress. So that's fun to hear from people.
And now, are they also saying, and plus I've given it to my teen or my spouse?
Yeah, and they're giving it away at work as well. So I visited my doctor's office just this afternoon, and I took her a copy. And so, you know, stress is everywhere we look. It's in all shapes and sizes. There's no way of getting around it. And we are better positioned now than ever to know what our brains are capable of doing in managing the stress that's coming our way. So it's an exciting project. It's a fun project. And we're just thrilled that readers are on board with that.
So tell me, Jeff, your life and your life's work, based on studying the cognitive behavior psychology of things, obviously you've helped a lot of people change in their lives. My question to you is, how do you think your helping others change has changed you?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's see. You know, I think the thing that has helped me change is understanding the durability and capacity and resilience. Let's wrap all of those up into a word that doesn't exist. All of those things about human ability and human capacity. And that, for me, strengthens things like my own faith. It strengthens and challenges me physically to take good care of myself and to be a good example. We know there are research articles that let us know that when you work with someone who's healthy as far as your doctor, you're more apt to be healthy. So that's something that I feel responsible. I want to do a good job so my patients and the people that I work with are also doing a good job of being healthy and living life abundantly. I think that's really the key to that.
Couldn't be said any better way. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jeff Brown from the Harvard Medical School. You can learn more about Jeff's work at drjeffbrown.com and the new book, The Chicken Soup for the Soul series of Say Goodbye to Stress. Thanks so much, Jeff. Have the great balance of the day.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.